So here we go. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind, it's alert. My heart, it's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith, my life gets stronger. Give God your best Sunday morning shout. Amen. Amen. Isn't there a wonderful spirit here today? There really is. Open your Bible with me, if you would, to Ephesians. Ephesians. We're beginning a brand new series on covenant blessings or covenant benefits this whole month. We're talking about covenant and what it means and the blessing and the benefit that comes with our covenant. You see, you and I, if we're born again, we're Christians, we're Christ followers, we're in covenant with a covenant-keeping God. Easter is all about Jesus coming to cut covenant for you and I to have a relationship with God Almighty. Amen. Amen. So, you know, we could study covenants. There's lots of covenants in the Bible, you know, but that's not my assignment this month, is to look at covenants, but it's to talk about the benefits and the blessing of the covenant that we're in with God. Now, you have to understand that your foundation for your Christian walk is your covenant with God. Do you understand that? That the foundation for your walk with God is your covenant with God. If you don't understand that covenant, if you don't understand what's in that covenant, if you don't understand redemption realities, if you don't understand your rights and privileges, if you don't understand what belongs to you, then you will not live a victorious Christian life. Now, I said a whole lot right there. It was the whole month right there. That's the why I'm teaching on covenant benefits. Because if you don't understand the covenant, and covenant simply means agreement. It means agreement. It means two or three parties coming together with a contract, an agreement. You know, when you bought your first house, you cut covenant with the bank. When you bought your car, you cut covenant with the bank. And in that covenant, in that contract, there are terms, right? And conditions. And so it's important then, liken that into our Christian walk, is that you have to know what the covenant is. You have to know what belongs to you, what you can believe for, what you can claim. You have to know your rights, your privileges, in order to live out a victorious Christian life. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, so with that in mind, let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. Talking about before Christ. Verse 2, yet you let the world. Watch this now. When you were in the world, when you were a sinner, before you came to Christ, you let the world. This is so powerful. This is so powerful. This is so powerful. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how you should live. Oh my goodness, Mark, you see that? You let the world, when you were a sinner serving the devil in darkness, your spirit was dead, when you were living there in the world, you let the world tell you how to live. When the world, your neighbors who don't know God, don't have a clue how to live in this world. Those people who scoff and laugh at you for coming to church and bringing your kids and raising your family in church and serving your local church, and they think you're crazy. Folks, you shouldn't be listening to the world to tell you how you should raise your family, how you should live, who you can become, what you can accomplish, who you are. You shouldn't let the world constrain you, restrain you. I'm going to get excited here now. You shouldn't let the world constrain you, restrain you, or limit you. The world tried to tell me how to live, and the life they told me to live wasn't much fun. It wasn't fulfilling. It wasn't satisfying. There was never enough. Why do we let people who don't know God, who can't understand the Bible, tell us what we should do with our life, how we should raise our family, what we should dare to believe, what our desires, our dreams, our goals, our ambitions should be. Why are we letting people who don't know God, who don't know God, who are living for God, tell us how we should live in this world? That's worth coming to church right there, taking your shower or your bath this morning. Amen? I mean, look at this. We're talking about covenant benefits. You've got to know your covenant. You've got to know what belongs to you, what Jesus purchased for you and I on Easter Sunday morning. You have to know your rights and your privileges. You know, one time I bought a car. This is years ago. I'm talking back in 1979. I pastored a church in Moberly, Missouri. It was a denominational church. It was our first church. There was a car salesman in that church. He was a member of the church, and he sold me a car. And so I bought the car, had it for a couple years, went to trade it in. And as I was trading it in back to him, he was writing down all the options that this car had. Now it has this, has that, to determine the value of the car. He began to tell me options that that car had that I didn't, because I love to read directions and manuals. He told me options that car had I didn't know that car had. So I was driving that car for 2 years, not enjoying the benefits that that car had to offer to me. Does that make sense? So you have to know, folks, you've got to know your covenant, that he's a covenant God, you're a covenant people, and the Bible says you're to be mindful every day of your life of that covenant and the benefits that are in that covenant. So look at this verse again. You, when you were a sinner, before you became a Christian, you let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief, and then you exhaled disobedience. Folks, it's time for us to find out who we are in Christ and stop allowing the culture, the Babylonian system, the world system, stop allowing people who don't know God, who don't have the power of God, who can't read and understand the Bible because their spirit is dead, they're not born again, to tell them how we should live, where we should live, where we should work, what we should drive, what we should wear, what we should believe for. It's time for us to get free and find freedom, discover our purpose, make a difference with our life. Amen. Somebody give a covenant-keeping God a big hand clap. Now, let's jump on down to verse 12, Ephesians 2, verse 12, and look what it says, that at that time, before you were Christian, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the what? See, there's more than one. You know, God made a covenant with Adam and Eve, didn't he? He made a covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with David. He made a covenant with Abraham, the father of our faith. Old Testament, New Testament. What is that? Old covenant, new covenant. But notice he says, when you were not a Christian, when you weren't born again, when you were a sinner, like the majority of the 7 billion people on the planet, well, when you were living that way, you were strangers of the covenant of promise. Having, when you were without a covenant, you were without what? Hope. When you didn't have a covenant with God, you were without hope, without God in this world. So when a person is a sinner without Christ, without God in this world, they have no covenant, thus they have no hope. So when you find out your covenant, you find out your rights, privileges, and benefits, you will live a life with hope. This whole month is all about Easter, Easter weekend, Good Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's all about letting people know God is for you and God has a purpose for your life. And you don't have to live in this life what other people tell you how you should live. Amen. And you don't have to live in this life without hope. When you are in covenant with God, you should be excited about every day of your life. You should live with hope. You should exhale hope. You should be contagious and let your hope jump off on other people where they want your God.
Amen.
Come on, somebody, one more time. Is that worth coming to church for? I mean, we even, now nobody here, but we even have Christians tell us how we should live. I remember one time I was pastoring a church and one of the deacons on the church, he was a car dealer as well. And I was looking for a new car. He took me out to his lot and I was looking at sports cars. He said, no, pastor. He was one of the deacons on my board. He said, no, pastor, this is what preachers drive. He was serious. He took me over to a station wagon. Nothing wrong with station wagons. They're cool. Make a woody into it. Put some surfboards on top. Amen. But see, what he was trying to do, put me in a box. Tell me how I should look, what I should wear, what I should drive. Tell me how to live. Folks, we got enough going on in our own life. Instead of trying to tell other people how they should live, let's find out how God wants us to live. Amen, church. All right, so this whole month, I want to help you get stronger. I want to help you have greater hope. I want to help you get free from how the world has told you you have to live. Some of you have had a divorce. Some of you have been raped. Some of you have had incest. Some of you have gone through bankruptcy. Some of you tried businesses and you failed. And the world will tell you you're a failure. Don't let the world tell you how you should live. Don't even let the church tell you how you should live. Go to the Word of God and find out what's in that covenant. This is your covenant. Amen, church. All right, so let's begin to build on that. Go with me, if you would, to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13. Boy, I'm pumped about this series. And Pastor Kim said this is going to be the best Easter we've ever had. Amen, 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 amen. All right, Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Now may the God of peace, and folks, peace comes before prosperity. Peace comes before anything else in our covenant. You've got to have the God of peace in your life before you can experience the peace of God. And you have to have the peace of God for God to lead you and guide you, because he leads you by an inward peace. So peace comes before promotion, before favor, before healing, before restoration, before prosperity, before debt cancellation, peace. But aren't you glad a covenant-keeping God, when you cut covenant with him, when you receive what Christ did for you on the cross, then now you can receive his peace that the world can't give you, and don't let the world take away. All right? So now, may the God of peace, who's the author and giver of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. This is Easter. That great shepherd of the sheep, by his blood, Pastor Kim talked about it, the shedding of the blood. Because when they would cut covenant in the Old Testament, there were always words, there were always terms, there were always conditions, there were exchanges, and there was cutting of blood, a sacrifice. And there were conditions in those covenants. So he says, by the cutting of the blood that sealed, ratified, the everlasting what? Agreement. What is a covenant? An agreement. So it's everlasting, isn't it? It's everlasting agreement, covenant, testament. So he's talking about all of that, your covenant, which is your foundation for what? To be strong. Next word, continuous thought. Knowing your covenant, knowing what Christ did on Easter, knowing what he did on that Sunday morning when he rose from the dead, knowing what he did, it should strengthen you. It should give you hope, and it should strengthen you. It should raise your level of victory. What you used to trip up on, you don't trip up on anymore. Amen? Amen. Amen. So he says it'll strengthen you, complete you, perfect you, make you what you ought to be. Tony asked me the other day in a mentoring session on his sheet, Pastor, what do you think is the most important thing for men to become godly men? I said their daily quiet time with God. That's the most important thing to become a godly man. Because out of your relationship with God, you know what you ought to be. You ought to be a good father. You ought to be a good husband. You ought to be a good worker. You ought to be a good servant in the house of the Lord. You ought to be in the fruit of the Spirit. You ought to pay your bills. You ought to be on time. All the things that I ought to be, that I'm not to be as of yet, is going to come out of my daily quiet time with God. Amen? All right? So strengthen, complete, and perfect you, make you what you ought to be, equip you with everything good that you can carry out his purpose for your life. While God works in you, aren't you glad he's working in us today? Works in you and accomplishes that's pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ the Messiah, to whom the glory forever and ever, to ages to come, amen, so be it. So he's talking about covenant. He's talking about you need to know your covenant. You need to know the benefits. You need to know your rights and privileges. You need to know redemptive realities. Why? So you stop letting other people, many times who mean well, tell you how to live. Because they don't have a clue how for you to live out your life. Because we all have different destiny. We all have different calling. We all have different anointing. Amen? Amen. We all have a distinct, specific purpose for our life. Amen. Amen. So now look at Hebrews 9. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. I love this. Don't you love the word? Boy, I'm addicted to the word. Amen. Look what it says. Christ the Messiah. Therefore, Jesus is what? Negotiator. Everybody say negotiator. And he's the mediator. He's the negotiator and the mediator. Wow. What we couldn't do, he did for us. We who had sin, he took our sin, who he had no sin, so that you and I could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In our family, it's always been this way. Anytime we're wanting to negotiate something, everybody in our family says, let mom do it. Pastor Kim is the great negotiator in our house. I mean, she'll chisel you down where... And I'm just not very good at negotiating, but boy, she is, you know. But guess what? Jesus is the master negotiator. He's the negotiator. He's the mediator of an entirely new testament, new agreement, new covenant. And it's a far better covenant than the Old Testament, right? Far better. So that those who are called, and look at this, everyone's called. And those who it's offered to. When we give altar calls every service, it's for people. God says, you're all called. And he said, the message of salvation, the good news, is offered to everybody. Black, white, yellow, brown. Those who have been the chiefest of sinners or little sinners, if there could be such a thing, it's offered to everybody. Isn't that an amazing story? Isn't that an amazing message? That Christ has offered salvation, this covenant, new beginning, to everybody, and everybody has a call in their life. Called and offered, they may receive the fulfillment of the promised everlasting what? Inheritance. We all have an inheritance. What is that? That's your covenant. That's the blessing. There are benefits to that. You need to know what belongs to you. You need to stop letting even the church, the traditional church, tell you how you should live your life. I remember years ago, I was in a certain denomination, and I was wanting to build a new building in the church that we were in and relocate. So I had to go get my presbyter of that denomination. I had to get his approval. So I went and got the presbyter. I'm a young pastor, and it's a new church. I pioneered this church. It's not Church on the Rock. It was a denominational church. And I had to get his permission. So I went and got him in the car. I drove out to another part of town. I said, here, pastor, he's my presbyter. He's my boss. I said, here, we want to relocate. We're going to build right here. And we're so excited. He looked at me and he said, your church runs 200 to 300 right now, right? I said, yeah. He said, your building holds 100. I said, yeah. He said, you have 3 services. I said, yeah. He said, that's good enough. That's what he told me. It was my presbyter. He said, that's good enough. You don't need your church to be any bigger than that. Wow. Guess what? I'm not in that denomination anymore. Amen. Now, I loved him. I really did. But see, he was telling me how I should live my life. He was telling me how I should live my life. And folks, I want you to live your life based on the covenant that Jesus Christ has cut for you. That you have a covenant-keeping God, we are covenant people, and we need to know our rights, privileges, and benefits that come with that covenant and live them out. And let the covenant dictate who you are, what you do, what you have, where you go. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a good praise. Since a death, this is Easter, has taken place, and that death... Easter weekend at Church on the Rock, Good Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning, and they're all going to be different. What does it do? God says here that Jesus cut covenant to rescue us. Everybody say rescue. And to deliver us. Everyone say deliver. And to redeem us. Everybody say redeem. So Jesus came to redeem us. He came to deliver us. And he came to rescue us from all our sin. Isn't that an amazing thought? Oh, we can be free. See, at Church on the Rock, what is our purpose? Today, I hope I'm helping you know God. And I hope I'm helping you find freedom. And I hope I'm helping you discover your calling so that you can make a difference with your life. Amen. I hope I'm letting you know that no matter what you've done, where you've been, I'm letting you know that Jesus came to redeem you. He came to deliver you. He came to rescue you. You don't have to live with that habit, that hang up, that hurt. So many people get hurt and they stay there. Oh, they go on outwardly with their life, but inwardly they never grow up. And they go from church to church always saying, I don't get anything out of that church. They're getting older on the outside, but they're stuck on the inside. Got quiet right there. Don't get quiet on me. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm talking about? It's true, right? All right. So look, let's look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103, I love this passage. And what I want to do this whole month is I want to highlight these seven benefits. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord with half of my soul. All right. God deserves our best affection, our best intention, our best emotion. He deserves us being on time, giving him our best. Yeah. Bless the Lord with all my soul. Your soul is your feelings, your emotions, your affections, and your will. Okay? So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy nature. Next verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget what? All my covenant benefits. And don't forget all my covenant benefits. The message paraphrase says, don't forget a single blessing. Don't forget a single blessing. When I grew up in Sunday school. My parents took me to Sunday school every Sunday morning. And I was taught a song in Sunday school. You know, every blessing in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. You know, I was taught, you know, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. I was taught this in Sunday school. And see what God has done. So what I would say is, y'all need a blessing list. Y'all need a blessing list. If he said, single them out, every single one. How soon do we forget what God did for us last week, last month, last year? How soon? Because we all get in a battle, a spiritual warfare, an attack, adversity, things get tough, and we forget what God did for us last week, yesterday, last night, this morning. Come on, somebody. Bless the Lord, all your soul. And don't forget the benefits. Everybody say benefits. Well, listed right here are seven benefits. It comes out of the covenant. Now, if it belongs to you, you need to claim it. You need to believe it. You need to walk it out. You need to confess it. You need to experience it. You need to taste it and see that the Lord is good. Amen? So let's just look at it. Next verse, verse 3. Number 1. He forgives all my iniquities. And you know what an iniquity is? It's more than a sin. Iniquity is a sin that becomes a habit. So those of you that have a habit of meth, cocaine, marijuana, you want to be free? God can set you free and deliver you from all the pain that came from that iniquity. Oh my goodness. Those of you who are addicted, you guys that are addicted to pornography, God can set you free from that iniquity. Amen. And then he can set you free from all the pain, the marriage you lost, the family you lost, the wife you lost. God can restore and redeem and deliver you from that habit. It started out as a sin and it became a habit. That's an iniquity. That's good news, isn't it? Whatever the addiction, alcoholism. Well, pastor, you know, I just believe you can have a little wine. And then what happened? You became an alcoholic. And then now what to do? It destroyed your family. It destroyed your career. It became a habit. That's an iniquity. But the good news is God can forgive us. God can redeem us. God can deliver us from those habits that have destroyed us. Oh, So he delivers us from our iniquities. He heals. This is number two. He has a covenant of healing. He is the Lord that healeth us. Next one, verse 4. He redeems our life from destruction as the team comes out. He protects you from being destroyed. You know, at Thanksgiving, we took our family, all of us, grandkids, kids, went down to Branson, watched the lights, the Christmas lights. We were on our way back on Highway 65 that goes from Branson north up to Springfield. It's a four-lane highway. And Daniel was behind me in his car. I'm in front. Kim's halfway asleep, and we're driving. And all of a sudden, somebody, it was a Ford Victoria. It was a white Ford Victoria, and they came off the wrong ramp, and they came on the lane that I was going this way. They start going this way. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at that, and cars start going off the highway off to the side. And here comes this guy. He's not moving. He's coming straight towards me. And if I'm lying, I'm frying. He was closer to me than where the TV cameras are back there. And we're going 70 miles an hour. You know, by the grace of God, my covenant benefits, if I didn't have those through Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be here today. You would have had my funeral in this building in November. Thank God. How many times has he saved you and protected you? And you didn't even know it. You didn't even know it. He saves us from destruction. That's part of your benefits. And then it says, he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. What's that? Favor. These are your benefits. Folks, your walk is based on your covenant. It's the foundation. If you don't know anything about it, you'll live defeated. You'll live a life what other well-meaning Christians tell you how you should live. You'll live the life that sinners tell Christians what we can do, what we can't do. Shouldn't be involved in politics. Shouldn't be involved in commerce. We shouldn't be involved in the city. We shouldn't be involved in leadership. I say you should. I say you should be the head and not the tail. I say you should excel at whatever calling God has called you to do. That's the only way we're going to change our community in Jesus' name. Next verse, verse 5. He satisfies your mouth with good things. That's good things. That means satisfaction. Number 6, he renews your youth like an eagle. That means long life. Long life means longevity. Say it with me. I will live long and live strong.